Hello, Rainey.
Hello, Lolly.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, look, I'm good. I have been going at the research this week.
The investigation.
Yeah, I have been going hard. We're on episode five.
Yeah.
And I just want to take it up a notch. So I have been looking into all of the case files for this next case. It's going to blow your mind.
Well, I'm ready to be blown away.
You ready for a bit of mind-blowing action?
Mm-hmm. 3, 2, 1, baby.
April 6th, 2022. What's going on with 2022?
Ah, COVID. I think everyone lost their minds. It's turned into raging murderers.
I think so. On April 6th, 2022, 33-year-old Corey Richens steps foot on the Good Things Utah TV set. Standing 5'6", Utah native, she makes her way over to the couch. She's wearing a bulky leather-look bomber jacket. Kind of strange. What's she hiding under there? Corey is there to promote her new children's book on grief. Shall we take a little listen to this interview?
Yeah.
Joining us now is author of Are You With Me, Corey Richens, to share her 3 C's to helping kids cope with grief. And Corey, I want to start with your story. What happened in your personal life?
So my husband passed away unexpectedly last year. So it's March 4th was a 1-year anniversary for us. And it completely took us all by shock. And we have 3 little boys, 10, 9, and 6. And, my kids and I kind of wrote this book on the different emotions and grieving processes that we've experienced last year.
Did she just say 1-year anniversary?
1-year anniversary. That's a lot to go through the grieving process and write a book about it.
Oh, yeah. That is.
Now, the crazy thing is, 5 weeks later, after this interview, Corey is arrested and charged with the murder of Eric Richens, with the murder of her husband, for a suspected poisoning.
Wow.
Ooh. The very same man that was the center of that book.
Holy shit.
Holy shit.
Holy shit.
Crazy bitches.
You know, what a way to make yourself look innocent, though, writing a book about grief.
Well, I think that was the whole point.
Yeah.
We're going to dive deep, head first, into this case. But I just want to make a point. This is still awaiting trial. So allegedly, she has murdered her husband. They say, well, innocent until proven guilty. We just don't know. But it doesn't look good. So on March 3rd, 2022, so the year prior, Corey and her husband, Eric, were at home celebrating the closing on a mega mansion. They were said to be purchasing this giant house. So Corey was in the business of flipping houses. They celebrated with a little cocktail, a little Moscow Mule. Around 9:30, they went off to sleep. This is when their son awoke and he was having a nightmare. So Corey went off to go and comfort her son. She ended up falling asleep in the bed with her son. And she woke up around 3, returned to her marital bed, and she happened to sort of touch Eric and notice he was very cold to the touch, unusually cold to the touch.
Ooh.
So she has then gone to turn the lights on. He does not look well. He does not look right. She calls 911. They have asked her to proceed with CPR, which she said she's doing. EMS and police arrive, and pretty much as soon as they arrive, they can tell that he is no longer with us, and it's not long after the arrival of emergency services that he is pronounced dead at the scene. So very, very sad, incredibly sad when you've got 3 boys, 3 young boys in the house. He's a 39-year-old male, super healthy. This is very unusual. There's no sort of pre-existing medical condition. So what the hell has gone on? Nobody knows. Let's look at Eric and Corey's history. So Eric is a Utah man. He is 39 years old. He is a real outdoor adventurous kind of guy. Apparently he's got every kind of motorbike, quad bike you can imagine. He's really into just the outdoors, going on hunting trips. He's also a older brother with 2 younger sisters, so fiercely protective of his younger sisters, and just overall a really good guy. Similar to our last episode, just one of those guys that gets on with everyone, salt of the earth, wholesome, just a good dude.
All around good guy.
Yeah, and you can just tell when you look at him, he just seems like he wouldn't hurt a fly. Super lovely guy. Now, he was a very successful businessman. He had a stone masonry business and things were going really well. Corey and Eric, they actually met at a Home Depot, kind of like a Bunnings.
Wow.
So Corey was actually just working. She was just a checkout chick. Eric used to come in, used to buy all of his product for his business. And he kind of fancied this hot chick that used to work the checkout aisle. And they got chatting. They went on some dates and things just really flowed from there. June 2013, they got married in a beautiful backyard ceremony. Something that kind of got them started off on the wrong foot was that Eric made Corey sign a prenuptial agreement on the wedding day. Little icky. Now, of course, you want to make sure you're covering all your bases. You got to be careful. I think especially in America too, you can get really screwed.
Oh, yeah.
In a marriage ending, Eric was actually previously married. He'd been married for 4 years to another woman. They had separated. Things got very nasty in their separation. Unfortunately, his wife actually was killed in a car accident, his ex-wife. Awful, awfully sad.
Mm.
But I think this previous experience really scared him with moving into another marriage. And I know that Eric's mother was also a driving force in this prenuptial agreement. So in this prenuptial agreement, they were not eligible to present or future incomes, property or assets, except in the case of death. So look, she signed it.
Hmm.
They got married. Things were flowing as they should. Had three boys, had three sons. They built a life together. Corey actually ended up moving into real estate. She was in the business of flipping houses, so she was apparently quite good at it. But there's a few cracks that begin to form. Between March and June 2020, money starts to go missing. And I'm not talking a little $5 or $10 or $20 here. Girl, I am talking hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Missing from, is this like a joint account or like a business they've set up?
Well, so the first chunk of cash that seems to disappear, well, it doesn't really disappear kind of out of a bank account. What actually happened was Corey took out a $250,000 home equity loan on the house without Eric's knowledge.
Ooh.
Spent it all.
Spent it all on what?
A little nose job? No, I'm just kidding. She didn't have a nose job.
I was going to say.
$100,000 was also taken from Eric's account. 100 grand, 100 G's.
Jeez.
$30,000 on the old credit cards. Zip zap, thank you very much. I don't think they zip-zap them anymore. I think it's a tap-tap.
Yeah. I think zip-zap was a long, long time ago.
A long time ago. I mean, it wasn't 2013. Oh, also, $134,000 of tax money. So Eric had actually given this to Corey to pay the taxes. Gone. Takes it all.
Okay.
I know.
Was she like rolling around in some Bentleys and dripping in diamonds? Like, did he not notice?
Well, okay. So I can't find where the money went, but what I'm guessing is she was in the business of flipping houses. So I think she was just taking the money in order to reinvest into these homes and to make the money back. But I don't know. I really don't know.
Mm.
Eric has actually found out about all of this and he is not happy. He has confronted her. They have had a bit of a heated argument, as you could imagine. She has promised she will pay him back. Eric's like, okay, cool. But also, I don't fucking trust you, bitch.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So he actually got the advice from a divorce attorney. He was looking into separation.
Ooh.
He takes things a little further. He also creates a trust. So the Eric Richens Trust. He puts all of his assets in this trust. And he makes his sister the beneficiary. He does this in secret. His wife does not know.
Good.
He does not trust her at all.
Fair enough.
Pretty crazy. She's stolen some mean cash. She spent it. He's found out. He's taking things, you know, he's looking after himself and his boys just in case something is to blow up and he's to take this bitch to court.
Mm.
What has actually happened during this time of marriage? So from 2013, we're married up until this point of new careers, flipping homes, stealing cash. Corey has taken out 4 life insurance policies on her husband.
Four?
Four. As early as 2015. I mean, this bitch had some plans in place.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
How do you take 4 out of like 4 different companies? Or
I have absolutely no idea. So between 2015 and 2017. So remember, they've only been married for 2 years. She's taken out four policies totaling $2 million.
Wow.
I do not know if he was aware of this, if they both had these life insurance policy plans, but it is sounding pretty dodge. Fast forward to 2022. Things are not going well in the Richens family household. Corey is in a lot of debt. I mean, millions of dollars. She owed an investor $1.8 million. She had obviously all this money she was having to pay back to the hubby. She was also looking to purchase this gigantic mega mansion. Shireen, I don't think you realize this mansion was actually, it was on, there was two houses on this property. So 22,000 square feet. I'm like, okay, how big could that possibly be? I did some research. It's a castle.
You'd be about 2,200 square meters. So
Shireen's actually in the property business. So please do the math.
It's pretty big. 2,000 square foot house is square meter house is pretty big.
It's enormous, isn't it?
It's huge.
Girl, this was a castle. It had a lake. It had a guest house. It had this mountainous peak in the background. It was something out of Hogwarts. It's Hogwarts a movie? What is that? That's the place, isn't it, within the movie. All right, listen. This place was absolutely ridiculous. Corey wanted to purchase this house. It actually had a lot of renovations that needed to be done.
So it was a house flip.
It's a house flip.
Yes.
It's okay. The ultimate house flip. They were going to purchase this place for over $3 million with the hopes of flipping it for about $12 million.
Whoa.
Yeah. It was going to cost a lot in renovations, but there was going to be massive returns. But apparently, Eric wasn't super pumped on this purchase because it was a massive undertaking. If you could see the home, I'll put some pictures up on the Instagram. It was ridiculous. It's the biggest thing I've ever seen. Early January 2022, Corey Richens gets the login details for Eric's business life insurance policy. She logs on in. She changes the beneficiary from the business partner, Cody, into her name. This is a $2 million policy.
Another $2 million policy.
There's just two mils flying everywhere. She then changes it back. She gets cold feet. She changes it back. Then she goes, oh, let's do it again. She changes it back again. And then she goes, no, 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 I better not. And then she puts it back in Cody and then she logs out. And of course, the insurance company gives Eric a phone call and says, hey, listen, something is going on. There's some dodgy behavior going on your account. The beneficiary has been changed multiple times. It's gone Cody, Corey, Cody, Corey. So Eric's like, right, that's interesting, isn't it? And he suspects that this bitch is trying to kill him.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
He's starting to think something is up. He even makes a comment to his family that if something happens to me, it was her. You know, we've got to remember he's also put all of his assets into his sister's name back in 2020. I mean, I don't understand. If you suspect that your wife or your husband is trying to kill you, would you not, like, leave? What's going on here?
Yeah, well, you would.
You would leave. I think Eric was just such a devoted dad. You know, he wanted to make things work. So he doesn't mention this to her that he knows. She's also managed to take out an additional life insurance policy in January 2022 by forging his signature for an extra $100,000. So there's just life insurance policies coming out of this girl's ears.
I mean, does she not think this looks incredibly dodgy?
I don't know, Shireen. We tell these stories and we look at the information and it just makes, I mean, it's just so blatantly obvious. It makes no sense that people do the things they do, but they do it and they just think they're going to get away with it. In January 2022, a lot is happening. Corey reaches out to a woman that goes by the name of CL. She's actually the house cleaner. She does a lot of cleaning of these house flips that Corey does. She also cleans the family home. She's reached out to CL and she's needing to get some pain pills for an investor client who has some bad back problems. So CL is happy to help. CL purchases some hydrocodone. CL purchases some strong painkillers. And she, for $900, they do the exchange. She actually leaves it at one of the properties. Corey goes and picks it up. She allegedly delivers it to her investor client, and that's that. It's a very nice thing that she's doing for her investor clients. Yeah.
I was going to say, it's very interesting why that client couldn't go out himself and get some painkillers.
Well, you know, I guess Corey's got some connections. February 14th, Valentine's Day. These guys are just hanging out. She makes Eric a sandwich and he gets very unwell. He is having a very hard time breathing. He breaks out in hives. He actually goes and gets his son's EpiPen.
What?
I mean, it must be pretty bad if you're about to pump yourself with one of those. Because have you seen, I mean, that's like full on adrenaline, right? Mm. He takes the EpiPen and then from there he just passes out for hours. He's asleep. And this is apparently the first suspected poisoning. So prosecutors believe that this is potentially the first sign of Corey trying to poison her husband. Possibly, we don't know. After this incident, Eric actually does say to his business partner that he thinks Corey's trying to poison him.
She just wouldn't want to touch anything she's giving you.
I mean, honestly, would you? I just can't believe it. I'm sure there's also a lot going on in Eric. If he's saying this out loud, surely he's making plans to leave this girl. I don't know. After this, Corey messages CL again and asks for fentanyl. She says, I need something stronger. Give me some of that Michael Jackson stuff. I mean, Michael Jackson died from that stuff. It wasn't actually fentanyl. I think it was propofol. But also, who in their right mind would take or request the drug that Michael Jackson took?
And also, fentanyl is pretty strong. It's out there killing everyone at the moment.
It's so bad. I think you've got hospital grade fentanyl and then you've got street grade, which is so bad. I mean, you do not want to touch this stuff. It is an epidemic in America. It's terrible. People are dropping dead left, right, and center. You only have to touch the stuff. There are so many horrendous stories. It's so, so dangerous. So the fact that she's even requesting this is wild. March 4th, the morning of March 4th, this is where Eric has died. Again, complete shock to everyone. Corey is saying that maybe it was a brain aneurysm or maybe he had long COVID. Very strange.
She's a doctor now too.
I know. If we move to the next day, March 5th, Corey closes on this multi-million dollar mansion on her own. So she signs off on the deal. Obviously, this doesn't sound good, but I don't actually know the whole legal process of if you are, let's say if you've put an offer on the house and you're meant to close on a certain date, you're kind of legally obligated to sign off on the house, are you not?
Well, yeah, look, there might be different rules in America, but yeah, generally if you've got an unconditional offer and you've got a settlement date, you do have to settle.
Yeah, because if you don't settle, you could be legally
liable for a lot of money, yeah.
Liable for a lot of money. So whether or not, I mean, it does sound pretty heartless that she's just gone and signed off on this mansion, but let's just be the devil's advocate here. Perhaps she legally had to.
Mm-hmm.
But what makes it so much worse is that she apparently threw a party that night to celebrate the closing of this house. So she had a bunch of friends over, there was a bunch of booze. And again, devil's advocate, maybe they were just drowning their sorrows and the sadness of Eric's passing, but it's all a little raw, a little too soon.
How many days was this after?
One.
One day. Yeah, no, no.
Not, yeah, no, no, no. Yeah, one day. One day.
I don't know if you'd be feeling that sociable one day after your husband's just died.
I think I would probably at least give it two. You know, it does not sound good.
No.
March 6th, we have Corey at home. She's called a locksmith to come on over and open up the family safe.
Yeah.
There is a load of cash in this safe, between $130,000 and $160,000. So she wants that money.
Mm.
March 6th, again, very soon to be starting to busting down the house looking for cash. I don't understand. But she's going for it. As this is happening, the sister arrives and drops a big old bombshell.
Mm-hmm. Get ready for it.
She tells the locksmith to back away because this is my house and these assets have been put in my name and I do not authorize you to open the safe. Woo-hee. Corey is like, holy shit, the plan is not going to plan. It's not going to plan. She is mad. She is wild, perhaps realizing that she's just killed her husband for nothing. And in a fit of rage, there is a bit of a altercation that busts out. And she is swinging punches. She punches the sister in the face. Apparently, they're trying to hold the girls back because I think Amy is definitely under the suspicion that Corey is the reason that her brother is dead. They were super, super close.
Of course.
Nasty little catfight going on here. They're pulled apart. Amy actually lays charges on Corey for assault and she pleads no contest. So a little crazy. This is just literally 2 days later. This is kind of the whole story in a nutshell. We have the autopsy being, taken underway in April. The results come back and they come back that Eric has died from a fentanyl overdose. and he has 5 times the lethal dose in his body.
Wow.
I've done a lot of homework on fentanyl because I don't really know a lot about it. For street grade fentanyl, you need as little as 10 to 12 grains of salt worth of fentanyl to die. It is so deadly. Yeah. It's crazy. And what it does is it makes its way to the brain and it essentially stops your body from being able to breathe.
Oh, that's horrible.
So you are just slowly suffocating, which is so horrendous. I'm sure it sort of puts you into a bit of a altered state of mind. So I don't know how much of that you would be aware of, but just absolutely horrendous to just think about poor Eric. He's gone to bed. His wife's gone to stay with the children. And in this time, the breathing has become very limited and he has essentially suffocated due to the fentanyl, which is friggin' awful.
It's horrible.
It's horrible. So if we just kind of step back for a moment and just look at the story, Corey is obviously denying that she has had anything to do with this murder. She's pled not guilty. And perhaps we could look at all of this and say, well, maybe he just accidentally took something. Maybe he was a hard drug user and he took too much. Because I thought, well, is there a possibility that maybe it was an accident? I don't know. I'm not on the jury. This has not gone to trial. But let's look a little deeper into this information. For starters, the police have found absolutely no trace of fentanyl in the house. So they've done a search of the property. They cannot find any drug paraphernalia. They can't find any little baggies or any traces of fentanyl, which you would think that if he accidentally took a little bit too much,
his stash wouldn't be gone.
His stash wouldn't be gone. There'd be a pill bottle. There'd be something around. They are also aware that Corey was asked to perform CPR, which she said she did. When emergency service workers have arrived, they have proceeded to do CPR and life-saving measures on Eric. And it's in this time that they realize that it's unlikely that CPR was performed. When they are doing CPR, there is some foam and blood coming out of his mouth, which is a pretty strong indication that there has been no CPR performed. Corey has also said, given a written statement, she's talked about her timeline of the night. She has said that her and Eric have had a cocktail to celebrate. She's made him a Moscow Mule. They then go to bed around 9:30. She's plugged her phone in. The son has had a nightmare. She's gone to go and comfort him. She falls asleep. She comes back. And it's at this point when she realizes something's wrong. And this is the first time she gets her phone and rings 911.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is a little forensic data extraction from this phone. And it is saying otherwise. It is telling a different story. So I am learning a lot about all of this stuff. And I'm learning that your phone is the key to everything. And you cannot lie about your phone.
No, you can't.
You can delete and you can do a system reset. But what actually happens, Shireen, is you have your phone data and then you also have the carrier record. So that would be, say, Vodafone or AT&T or whoever you are with. They have a record of your phone's information, just like you have a record of the actual physical copy of the phone. So you can delete whatever you want, but there will be records, call logs, text messages that are with the carrier. The carrier record can also record movement of the phone. I think it has to be quite a large scale movement. But in this scenario, we have two devices talking to each other and they are recording movement of the phone. So in the house, it could be an iPad or an Apple Watch
mm-hmm.
that is communicating with the phone and it's tracking movement of this phone.
Oh.
So we can see the 911 call has happened at 3:22 a.m. We can see at 3:07, the phone has been unlocked. At 3:08, there has been movement of the phone. 3:12, it has been locked and unlocked. Again, 3:16, unlocked. We've got more movement at 3:19 and 3:21. And then we've also got the 911 call at 3:22. Now, I'm telling you about the movement because it's not just a little bit of movement. The first tracking of movement is about 74 meters, 240 feet. That's far.
Yeah.
It's a big house. So she's maybe going down the hall, down to the kitchen, maybe washing a little Moscow Mule cup.
Mm.
You know, she's doing a bit of trekking around, which is kind of strange. And then the next lot of movement, which is about 10 minutes after the first initial unlocking of the phone, is about 40 meters or 130 feet. So she is moving around the house. She has said, remember, that she has just hopped into bed. He's cold to the touch. She's called 911. They can also see within this time frame there's been deletion on this device from between 3:07 and 3:22 a.m. We've deleted web history, web searches, call logs, and text messages, specifically text messages to CL.
Well, I mean, that's incriminating.
It's not good.
It's not good.
I mean, would you touch your dead husband and then go, oh, better just clear out the phone? No. No, not unless you've got something to hide. It's bloody terrible.
Especially to CL.
Dumb idiot.
Dumb idiot.
Oh, so all of this stuff is not looking good. The police have seized her phone. She has got a new phone around April. So again, he's died March 2022, April 2022. She has got a new phone. When she's been arrested the following year, they have taken this phone off her and they can see multiple web searches that, again, do not look good. Between April and August 2022, she has Googled what happens to deleted messages, how do police recover deleted messages from a phone, how to delete information from a phone remotely. She's also searched luxury prisons for the rich.
Oh my God.
And she's also searched if someone is poisoned, what does it go down on the death certificate as? Now, this one was crazy to me because no one has said he's been poisoned at this point. They are saying it's a drug overdose. So, bitch going down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is looking very bad. At this point, she's arrested. She's put in jail. There is a bond hearing to see if she'll get jail bail.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because this bond hearing, there was a lot of information that wasn't released to the public. But in this bond hearing, it was almost like a little mini trial. So much information came out. So this is where we found out about CPR, the deleted messages, web searches, and also the info with CL, all these text messages back and forth for the fentanyl. So it's in this bond hearing that the judge decides that absolutely no way she is staying in prison. She is not getting bail because she is a risk to society. As of now, she is currently in jail. Her family are very adamant that she did not do this. They have explanations for all of it. Obviously, Eric's family is convinced it was her. I mean, you decide. It's going to go to trial in 2025 at some point.
Wow, she's got a while to wait.
She does. And a few other things have happened, of course. She wrote a letter to her mum titled Walk the Dog. In this letter, they're actually adding another charge of witness tampering due to this letter because she's telling her brother what he needs to say. She's telling her brother that he needs to connect Corey with hard drugs. She is implying that he apparently went to Mexico and was on one of these hunting trips, was sourcing hard drugs, and she needed her brother to testify to this.
Wow.
When they have searched her jail cell, poor thing just starts having a seizure.
Right at that time.
Right at that time. I mean, what are the chances? Do you know what? I think Caitlin Armstrong actually started having a seizure too when she got tackled on the street from when she was running away from prison. So, I mean, it must be something that happens to you in jail. It must be the food.
Oh, yeah.
So, maybe. Yes, she started having a medical episode. They seized the letter. She's had an additional charge of witness tampering that I think will be added to her long list of charges. And she's also come out and said, no, that is not what that is. I'm actually writing a fictional book.
Oh,
this girl is creative. She loves to write. I mean, she is a children's book author after all. This is a juicy story, but we have to remember it's bloody awful. We've got this poor family, the Richens family. Eric Richen was taken away from his children. He was an incredible dad. He had a thriving business. He was doing good things in the community. He was a religious man. He went on missions to Mexico to help people. He just was such a wonderful person. And then we have his wife that is so incredibly greedy. She is just has this insatiable thirst for more money, more money, more money. And the only way that she could see to get to more cash was to get rid of her husband. So it's crazy.
So sad. So, so sad. She just sounds like a greedy, manipulative devil.
Yeah, she's the devil.
Awful.
From the outside, she's this beautiful, attractive woman, successful woman. She's a mother of three children. But on the inside, she's a savage, savage bitch. She's goddamn savage. All these life insurance policies, the fentanyl, the drugs. Imagine just spiking your hubby's cocktail, serving it up, and then going waiting in the bedroom next door, just waiting.
I know.
Waiting. Ugh, it's awful. It's not right.
No.
And the real victims in all of this are those three boys. They've lost both parents. They're currently staying with, I believe, Eric's sister. They have two weekly video calls with their mom. I don't know how much of all this they know. It's going to go to trial. She could be found innocent. I just feel like after all of the research and info, it does not look good.
It looks very bad. She definitely looks like she's done something. She's done something here.
That's the story of Eric Richens and his savage wife, Corey Richens. So, Rainey, tell me, can you handle that crime and scandal?
Definitely not, Lolly. Such an amazing human being, been taken away for absolutely goddamn nothing. She obviously thought she was incredibly clever. She's just very greedy. And unfortunately, those poor children now have lost both parents, and it is very sad. You know, and the other thing, obviously, his family fully suspect her. Imagine watching her go onto that TV show and doing an interview about grief and how her husband and the father of her children has been gone, who she potentially has killed.
Oh my God, it's so sick. It's so sick. To just write the book, the illustrations, it's clearly Eric.
Yeah.
That's this kind of angel figure in the book. And it's just, ugh, it just feels so, what a way to just put yourself out there. She actually reached out to the TV stations. She wanted to get on the TV and do this promotion of this book.
She sounds like she's got a few screws loose.
They all do. But again, maybe she thought, well, this will make me look not guilty.
Yeah. Lolly, can you handle the crime and scandal?
Oh, of course not. I feel like I can't handle any of these crimes and scandals. We need to do some more lighthearted ones so the answer changes. But no, it's horrible. Again, this poor man, these people that get wrapped up with these really nasty psychopaths, it's so sad. And again, like you said, the real victims in all of this are the boys. It's a real tragedy. They're going to grow up with no parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know how that's going to affect them growing up. Very sad. And it sounded like the Richens family were very, very close-knit, and the sisters they're all devastated, rightfully so. And yeah, so I guess we're just going to wait to see how this all unfolds. Look, maybe she is innocent, but
it doesn't look like it.
I mean, there's just too much evidence. There's too much.
Too much. CL.
CL.
That's the big...
See you later.
The big... CL, the big connector there.
That is our episode of Can't Handle the Crime and Scandal for another week. We'll see how this all plays out. But in the meantime, be kind.
Go out there and love your husbands. Don't kill them.
That's it. And just fucking stop being greedy. Money just seems to be the root of all evil.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Go make that clean cash. Live that clean life and be kind to one another.
Exactly.
All right, well, that's Molly and Rainey.
Signing out.
Signing out. Love you.
Love you.
Bye.